Hi, it's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by StyleSeed. Join StyleSeed today, trusted by top professionals and adored by clients. Hey, hey, welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. Welcome, welcome. I am super, super excited to bring a new episode to you today. But before we get into that, make sure that you are subscribed to the Business Beauty Network podcast wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share it. If you know someone who would benefit from this awesome content, make sure you share it and connect with me, the host of the Business Beauty Network podcast. I am Brandy Taylor. Brandy is with an I. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and all the ones. I look forward to connecting with you there. And the Biz Beauty Network podcast is also on YouTube. So check us out on YouTube. Follow us there and subscribe to the podcast. Share it and leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. A written review will help other people to find us. So I hope you will do all those things and connect with us on all social media outlets at Business Beauty Network. And you can check out our website at businessbeautynetwork.com. Now that all of that is out of the way, I am super, super excited. It is March 1st. Yes, happy Friday. I wanted to bring an episode out today. It's the first day of the month, and I have an awesome guest in store for you. I love it because one of my favorite seasons is coming, spring. I'm ready for the spring. I am in Michigan. It's very cold here. So I'm super excited about some warmer weather and the sun shining a little bit more, right? So I'm excited about that. And also, I love the spring colors, the spring fashion. So I can't wait to pop out some of my spring fashion things and all of those great things. So I'm excited for spring. I'm excited for warmer weather. Winter is not one of my favorite seasons. So spring is making me happier these days. But I'm super, super excited. I had a great conversation with Gary Giroux on this podcast episode today. And I had the opportunity to meet Gary when he was in Detroit a couple of years ago at the iBeauty Expo. And I was doing these mini interviews with some of the speakers there. And Gary was one of the people that I featured. So check out my Instagram if you want to see that at I Am Brandy Taylor. You can see the brief snippet of the interview I did with Gary a couple years ago when he was here at iBeauty Expo. Gary is an awesome educator, and we had a great time just chatting, learning more about what he's doing in the industry. So I'm super excited to share that with you on today. I also wanted to share one of my favorite quotes. Here's one of my favorite quotes from Maya Angelou. If you're always trying to be normal, you would never know how amazing you can be. If you're always trying to be normal, you'll never know how amazing you can be, Maya Angelou. I love that because I've never felt like I was what you call normal or I fit into any box. I was always a little different, right? And I've always felt that way. And so it's freeing to know that I can be that and I can be me. And I hope that you'll, if you ever felt that way or you feel like you have to fit in or anything like that, that you'll just allow yourself to be the amazing person that God created you to be. And that's one of the reasons why I really love this quote. But I want to share today's bio by today's guest. And I'm super excited. Gary was so much fun to have on. And I really think you're going to enjoy this interview. And here is a little bit of Gary's bio. Gary Giroux is an international hairstylist, platform artist, the owner of Thrive Beauty Institute, and the Salon Experience. Oh, the... I fucked the name of the... Gosh. Gary Giroux is an international hairstylist, platform artist, the owner of Thrive Beauty Institute and the Experience Salon. He's also a preacher and author. This Tennessee native began his journey in the early 2000s, embracing a budding passion for cosmetology. Gary moved to Nashville, Tennessee after high school graduation and began his cosmetology studies at the International Barber and Style College, later relocating to Jackson, Tennessee, and graduating from New Wave Hair Academy. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and here it goes. Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is your host, Brandy Taylor. We have an awesome guest today, Gary Girard. Welcome, Gary.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Gary, I am glad to have you. So before we learn all about you and all the awesome things you're doing in the industry, tell us something about yourself that most people would not know.
Oh, I love this question. And guess what it is, Miss Brandy? I do not like crowds or standing in front of people. At all. I go through a moment of anxiety, and I started coughing and choking and sweating and all of that right before I get on stage. Any platform, I'm having a fit, and my team and myself has to calm me down, or I'm having a come to, you know, myself moment. And let's make it happen. But after I get started, I'm fine. I don't feel anything.
You know, I'm like that too. I get nervous before I get on a stage and everything. But I think, like we said, once I get going and everything, then I'm in. Yeah. But yeah, I used to like, I don't know, I would be sweating. I would be like, and I never really sweat, but it would be like wet under my arms and I don't know, all types of stuff.
Yes. So it happens, but I get through it. And I've noticed that I've actually been doing this since I was a young guy. So I was just like, ooh, but I get through it. But those nerves help me to kill the moment. So I use those nerves for the moment.
Would you? I will tell you, people don't notice it because I know it doesn't seem that way. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Gary. That's interesting. But yeah, it doesn't seem like, because you do it so often, you're on stage, teaching, educating, and then I know you preach as well and all those things. Yeah. So that's shocking.
Everybody says that. They be like, oh, no, not you. Yeah. And sometimes even in church, my pastor's like, boy, you're going to be all right. Stop that. So it just happens. It happens.
Well, that's interesting. You never know. You know, we all have, you know, our things. But hey, as long as you use that energy to allow you to go out there and do what you're called to do, hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. So tell us your beauty story, Gary. How did you get into the industry?
Okay. So I'm going to make this long story short, but it's going to be funny and it's going to be really shocking. So I got into the beauty industry, not because, Brandy, I really wanted to do hair. I did not want to do hair at all, okay? My focus was optometry and dance. I loved dancing, and I was fascinated with optometry. So I was in all of the Health Occupation Students of America clubs. Any club that dealt with the medical field, I was in those clubs in high school. And I was dancing literally every day, all day. Collaborating with other dance teams, putting them together. That was my heart. That was my passion. So I didn't like school, though, as much. So I needed extra credits in high school, my freshman year of high school. And there was like, Mr. Pearson, either you're going to have to jump into cosmetology or go to auto mechanics. Well, God knows I wasn't finna help fix no motor, change no battery. I wasn't finna do all that. Okay. So I jumped, me and a few other guys, we jumped into cosmetology just for the credit purposes, not knowing that was going to be something that I was going to actually be turned into a career. So I got in it. And about a year later, I had gutted out my mom's shed in the backyard with no license, no anything, and just made that a salon to do my homegirl's hair, anybody who needed their hair done. And it was like everything just unfolded through me trying. I thought I was going to get a credit, but I actually picked up a gift. It was like an unfolding or unveiling of like what was already there, and I didn't even know it. So that's how I jumped into it.
You never know like what this path called, like where it will take you. So that's interesting. You never really thought about it, but because it was an opportunity, you were like, it's either this or that, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know, growing up, they called it a vocational school, and we had opportunity. But I wanted to do college just because it seemed fun. Uh-huh. Everybody wanted to do college, so the program was full for us. So I ended up doing the law enforcement program.
Wow.
Just so I could get away from school for a few hours, you know, in the beginning.
Wow.
So I'd be alone, but that was all that was left. Like, cut-offs, all the stuff I thought to do was all taken up. And what was left was law enforcement.
Wow. One.
I had the alert from Dan Geary was that I am not a cop. Okay.
Yeah. So you learned that really quick.
One of them quick, like, man, it's not for me, okay? So but you learned the opposite, which is great.
Yeah. I learned the opposite. Yeah, and I got a chance to be a part of that vocational class for a couple of years in high school, and then they took it away. And when they took it away, I literally like cried, like somebody had passed away. And I think it was because at that moment I had developed a passion for it, and I got a chance to see like these other guys doing it, like old school back in the day, Cool C and Big Daddy and Lil Willie and all of those guys. And I was like, wow. And so I think all of those things just kind of really stuck with me. And when they took that away out of the high school, I was like, I felt like it was over or something. I don't know. But that really just pushed me to really go further into the career.
So what's it like, your journey starting in the industry after you got licensed and trying to find your place in this industry? Kind of take us back a little bit.
Okay. So I finally, those don't know, I am from Tennessee. And I live in a little country town called Humboldt. And we have a thing that says the boat that don't float. I don't know what that means, why, but I don't know. But all I know is that
it's sinking. But
I don't know why we stuck with that, but we kept saying we from Humboldt, the boat that don't float. I was like, wow. But anyway, I was born and raised there, went to school there, graduated, and I finally went to Nashville, Tennessee, to get enrolled into a cosmetology program there. And I had such a hard time finding the right school that I feel like that would be great for me. I finally found International Barber and Style College, did that. And when I tell you I had a blast. So my journey from that was just amazing. Even after getting licensed, my journey has been amazing. I didn't have a rough path with this career path with cosmetology. Now, there were times that I really felt like, did I really make the right decision? Because I was too busy comparing where I was then with people who have been in the industry longer than I have, and was trying to figure out why wasn't clients coming, you know, like what they have built, or why does not my business look like their business? And I had a hard time there with comparison. Mm-hmm. And I think that bothered me more than anything with my journey. So I had to really get kind of break free from that comparison and measuring my path with somebody else's, and just accept where I was and build and develop from there and just grow into what, you know, God wanted me to have and what I desired and I feel like I needed. So, but my journey was amazing. I love my journey. I don't take nothing from it. As a matter of fact, if I could hit a button and go back and relive some of those things, I would, because that's how much fun I had.
Yeah, but it's interesting. You said a whole word right there. I think a lot of us kind of go through that, especially starting out in the beauty industry. You kind of compare to other people, other artists, other people that are out there. And a comparison is it kills. Like, it's just it's like there's no help in that. There's no reason to do that, because we are all at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our paths are different, you know, and everything is uniquely different. And that's what makes us unique. And when you remember that and you learn to embrace your uniqueness, I think that is so freeing. So for me, like when I learned to kind of embrace my uniqueness, that was freeing. But I know it was times where I held myself back in the industry because I was comparing myself to other people. So I'm glad you shared that, because I'm pretty sure there's other people who have done that or maybe are doing that right now. And I oftentimes find that sometimes comparison stops people from showing up where they really could in their business. I see this a lot in the beauty industry. So they're looking at, you know, other people. Maybe they look at their work, or they look at other people's work.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I know I need to put my work out there, but it's not as good as Gary's work, so I'm not going to put it out. You know, or look exactly like Gary or whoever else, so they don't want to put it out. Yeah. You know, we all got to start somewhere, right?
Yes.
And there's going to be the right client for you at that particular time where you are. So be okay with just embracing where you are right now and continue to do the things you need to do to grow, but don't allow the fact that you're not as good or maybe, and like I said, everybody's at different stages. Yes. You don't, or maybe you don't show up in the same way. Don't allow that to stop you from, you know, really showing up and putting your work out there. So yeah, that's good. So what do you think, Gary, like the industry I know has shifted. I've been hearing some things like we're in one of those J months. And you know how J months can be in this industry. So what's going on in the industry right now when it comes to clientele? Like some people are slower. Things I've heard people say, they feel like their business has shifted a little bit. Have you seen that? And, you know, how do you feel about that?
I have seen, that's a great question. I have seen that in previous years. What I have done, I have put some things in place so that when things are slow at the salon, I can pick up revenue from another avenue, such as digital courses, offering other different types of services by outside of the chair. So when I do experience some of those, the slow J, they may call it, I can still pull from other resources. But I really think as beauty professionals that we should really prepare for these type of months instead of just posting and saying, well, hey, nobody's calling or nobody's showing up. Instead of complaining, let's use that energy to build something so that when these slow days come and slow months come, we can still take a deep breath and relax and pull from other revenue, other streams of income. And many of us are sitting on more than just one skill, right? Sometimes we just become comfortable with receiving revenue from one stream or one way, or we get familiar with doing it a certain way, a particular way. When really, in reality, we can take everything that we've been doing out of all these years, package it, make it another brand, turn it into another product. If it's nothing but gathering hair oils, 4-inch bottles of shampoos and selling kits on the side to all of your clients, home hair kits, ebooks, different things of that nature that will kind of help you. And some of us like to cook. Hey, make some cakes.
That's right.
Make some cookies. Do something. So even with this slow month, now I'm not confessing that it's a slow month because I believe in the power of words. Because I'm really my business is a faith-based business. So I'm not going to declare that, but I am going to say that there is more to you than meets the eye that'll bring in more income.
Right. I love that. Like, I once heard that entrepreneurs should have at least 7 streams of income, right? So it's all about like not putting all of your eggs in one basket.
Yes.
So don't put all your eggs in one basket. Find different ways to make different streams to make money, to earn income. But like you said, educating and or retail and all those types of things could definitely add to your different streams, or even stepping outside of the industry and trying something different that you may have interest in. It may not necessarily be beauty related. Like you said, you like to cook, start cooking and selling, whatever it may be. But that's what entrepreneurship is. And I think sometimes we get stuck in one area. We feel like we can only one thing, but no, you need to have multiple streams of income in order to survive, especially in this economy. You know, it's absolutely a good thing to have multiple streams of income. And then another thing too is preparing for, like you said, if you think about the whole year, we typically know how our business goes, our ebbs and flows in our business. January, February might be a little slower, and it started to pick up in the spring. Then, in the summer, like in July, people start going on vacation, so it started to fall back down. But if you know there's trends in your business, then prepare for those trends.
Prepare for those trends.
Prepare for it. You should be setting money aside. You should have a plan for it. Maybe, market more when it's slower, but you already know it shouldn't be a surprise.
Yes.
That, year over year, if you notice that's how it goes, then you need to prepare for it. So, I love those tips.
Yes, and that was a great question. I just kind of thought about, too, we just had a snowstorm a couple weeks ago here, really bad. And all I could see down my timeline was people, stylists saying, oh, my goodness, I didn't get a chance to work this week. This is horrible. Everybody, there were so many complaints, and I get it. We all have been there, but there was another part of me was saying, when was the last time you prepared though? And there's a slogan, there's a saying that I say, and it's this: preparation produces platforms. As you prepare, you're going to build platforms. That's your preparation brings new platforms of new streams of income, but you have to be able to prepare. If you don't prepare, you won't thrive. You'll be just hustling and surviving instead of just thriving.
What is a proper preparation prevents poor performance?
There you go.
So like I learned that years ago. I was going to tell my dad, proper preparation prevents
proper performance.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, be prepared for those.
Yes. Times.
And if we're not prepared, then what happens? We're sitting up there crying because we,
yes,
the snowstorm. And that happened to a few of my salon owner friends that we had a lot of snow. We had a lot of inches and schools were closed. We had ice storm on things as well. And of course, they had to move their schedules around and maybe miss out on business for several days. But that shouldn't really like tear your whole world down if you're properly prepared for that.
Correct. Correct. I love that. Most definitely.
Now, what about the client experience? Because I feel like nowadays the client is expecting a different level of experience. And this may be a reason why some people are getting clients that are not returning. Mm-hmm. So what do you feel like in our industry can do to improve our client experience?
Randy, great question, girl. Listen, I love this topic. And this is why I say this. It is time for us to upgrade. Level up, and what I mean by upgrade and level up is I'm saying provide a new customer experience, which means we all know about, let's just go back to the basics. Customer service is on the low end right now. People, you know, you have stylists who don't even conversate with their clients. You have a stylist who doesn't communicate with their clients. They don't greet them. If they do greet them, or have a conversation, is about money, maybe the pricing. You know, ask the client how they're doing. Ask them, you know, how they're, you know, find out more information about them, you know, besides, you know, what they want their hair like, you know. Even client consultations. I have started making my client consultations a whole party almost. So I create these little small bags that has my card in them. I have an ink pen in them. I have a few snacks in them, and I bring my tablet. When I give them a gift. We go over everything that they need, and I clear out the day. So I don't do a consultation while I'm working on a client, because I want that client to feel like they have all of my attention, and I make it worth their while when they come. So by the time the consultation ends, that they're already thinking like, dang, he went and brought me a gift. He gave me a candle. He gave me a gift certificate, a free eyebrow arch. You know, I make it personable, and it's all about relationship, building relationship. And a lot of clients are not coming back because they don't feel, you know, that relationship bond. They don't feel it, even though, I mean, you may not know them, they may not know you, but we have so many seconds and so many minutes to leave a great impression at that moment. And I believe that the client knows in the first 5 minutes if they want to deal with you or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And vice versa. But I think we should definitely level up the experience all the way down from the customer service, the consultations, the shampooing, making them feel relaxed, and just making that client feel like that they matter more than the money.
Yeah. Getting back to putting the customer first, right?
Yeah.
Putting the customer first. I definitely agree with that. And like I love what you say, like, you know, the consultations, you take out time for that. So do you have a consultation day, like a day that you only do consultations? Okay.
Yes, so I have a consultation day, and I usually choose my slowest day of the week. And I make all my consultations either on a Monday, because most salons I close on Mondays, or if I do it virtually on a Sunday night, we can do it virtually or in person. So if I do it virtually, I send them a virtual gift certificate to something. $5 goes a long way to Starbucks. I mean, just small things matter. But I usually do it on a day that I'm really not working in the salon.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I think people, you know, it's the little things. And I think sometimes we kind of forget that. It's the little things. And we need to get back to taking care of clients. Just remember the little things can really make an impact and a difference when it comes down to people returning. And really putting the client first and making them feel that. I think more and more now, like, people are getting tired of some of the things that we used to deal with back in the day. People are expecting us to level up. And I think if we want to level up as an industry, we want to get to the point where we're charging more and we're going to the next level. We'll talk about all these things, and we're going to have to level up our service too.
We have to level up our services. And what I even just realized, even just with that and with social media, people like to feel like that they really know Brandy. Like, they want to feel like they're your cousin, you know, or, oh, that's my auntie, or that's my Uncle G. And you don't have a clue of who they are, but they just want to feel like that they are a part. And I think once we make clients feel like that they are a part of our world, they love that.
Now, what are some ways that you do that?
Some ways to do that? Engagement, conversation. You know, asking them questions, you know, like I said earlier, how is their day going? How's the family life? You know, getting more involved. Even if you see some of your clients posted, be engaged into that world, you know, go and comment and subscribe to something that they may be building, you know? So really just being involved more than just, hey, can I put a weave in? Or, hey, can I put a color in? So really just getting involved in their personal life to a certain extent with boundaries that make sense.
Now, what are some ways that you build relationships with your clients? Staying connected with them, what are some ways that you do that?
Emailing is one thing. There's a, let me say this. My assistant try to make sure, Gene, don't forget to send out an email. I try to send out a newsletter. Not every week, but I'll send one monthly. They at least get 3 emails a month. And it's just like a, hey, how you doing? You know, this is such and such month. I may give a theme to it, or I may just be having a simple conversation. Hey, I enjoyed our visit this month with you all. You know, the new color of the month may be ruby red. You know, I may just have a hair talk conversation with them and just kind of really just keeping them engaged. So that's what one thing I love about, I'm glad I have StyleSeat, is because I was able to collect so much data from my clients where I can keep that engagement and keep things going between them. And they love and look forward to some of those newsletters. And sometimes it has nothing to do with hair. I may just send out, you know, a weekly prayer for all of them, or a weekly declaration or something inspirational or motivational, just to send out. Just let them know that, hey, I'm thinking about you. So those little things really brighten up people's day. And I've seen people be like, bro, you didn't know what I was going through that week. And that email was like right on time. So, you know, I really appreciate it. Even clients that I have not seen in months or a year, those newsletters, those inspirational messages reminds them, let me get back to this shop, you know. And they just, you know, it just has a way of reeling them back in and just keeping that flow of engagement and things going. So I love that.
And what I like about StyleSeat too is they make that easier for you.
Yes.
Where, like, they have email templates that you can just kind of tweak. And they even let you know, like, you can tailor your emails to email people maybe seen in a few months or what it may be. Like you said, they give you more information so that you can do that properly. So it's easier, because I know sometimes people are like, I am the stylist, I don't do all of that. But sometimes it's easier if you have a booking system that kind of can assist you in all of those things and running your business. And not just on the financial end, but also with marketing tools and things of that nature too.
Imagine a world where your beauty business grows effortlessly while enjoying more personal time. Introducing StyleSeat, the ultimate salon management platform designed just for you. Building your beauty empire has never been smoother. StyleSeat handles the nitty-gritty details like booking management and building powerful business tools so you can focus on what you do best. Try StyleSeat today and enjoy $30 off of your first 3 months of the premium plan. Get this limited time offer with our link in the show notes. Join StyleSeat today, trusted by top professionals and adorned by clients.
Yeah, so email marketing is great, and I'm glad that you are taking part of that, because so many people in the industry do not. Now, why do you think that is?
What? For our email marketing, people.
Yeah, why don't we sleep on like staying connected with our clients? Because I've gotten services and I never heard back from them again. And
You're so right. I think maybe for number one, I think a lot of people are not educated about how email marketing is important for our businesses. And number two, I think maybe some people may feel like that we may be hounding or getting on our clients' nerves. And really, in reality, they can easily hit unsubscribe if we're getting on their nerves. But the clients really love for us to reach back out to say something. Hey, something. Don't come back. Anything. Listen. They want to hear something from you. But I think a lot of us is really just kind of afraid. Either we just, like I say, miseducation. We don't really have enough education about it and how to do it. And number two, we may just feel like that we're just getting on the client's nerves, and we're really not.
And I get that, and I've heard that, because I think what it is we get a lot of emails that get on our nerves, right?
Yeah.
We get, you know, for those companies that email you every day about their sale, and it goes to promotions, they email you so much.
Yeah.
But we don't want to become that person. But when you think about it, if you compare yourself to like Bath and Body Works, it's just, they go to Bath and Body Works for whatever they go to Bath and Body Works for, and they may have signed up for their emails, but you are their stylist.
Yes.
Yes, you get them looking good every 2 weeks. You know, they see you, they know you. So they want to hear from you more than they want to hear from like those companies on the record. And you do not have to email them every day. Like, I like the way you say, you know, 3 times a month. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just at least staying in touch, letting them know what's going on with you, what's going on with the salon.
Yeah.
And, you know, checking on them and making sure they're good too. And I even love finding some ways to add value, you know, sharing like something that you love right now, or, you know, things like that, or just even giving them a motivational word for the day to inspire them on their week or whatever it may be. There's different things you can do to try to find, to stay top of mind. Because what it is staying connected. Because I think what we don't think about is, so if you only get an email to confirm the booking, so it confirms the appointment, you do the appointment, whatever, and then you may get your receipt, you know, after you pay me or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, okay, I never hear from you ever again. You know, like, until I initiate, until I reach out to you for another appointment.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. I just think if you went out with somebody, you had a really great time, I always say this, and then you just never hear from them again.
Hey, I would feel so bad. I would be like, oh my gosh, was the experience bad? I mean, was the date that bad?
Now, if you think about it like that, you know, you want to stay connected with people, especially people that you want to retire to, you want to build relationships. You don't want to make it like transactional and a one-time thing. So that's why I'm always pushing that. And I know people get tired of it, but until y'all start emailing people, I'm not going to stop talking about it.
That is so true.
But it's something that can be helpful for sure.
Yes.
You know, and finding ways to stay connected. So in your salon, like, tell us about what you got going on right now. I know you have a salon, you have a school. So, like, what are you excited about right now? And what are some things you guys are working on in your salon right now?
So the salon right now is called the Experience Salon Suite. It is a salon suite. I used to have a full salon with 5 other stylists, but I downsized after losing one of my close cousins. She passed of sickle cell.
Oh,
and so after that, thank you. So after that, me and her actually went in business together. And so after that, I just kind of downsized into a salon suite. But the salon is very upbeat when you come. There's so much energy in my salon. I'm always cracking the joke, laughing, or dancing with the clients, things of that nature. So it's almost like a drive-thru. You're in and you're out. We're not booking 10 people at 10 o'clock, 5 people at 3 o'clock. No, we got everything scheduled to the T, and you're coming in, you're coming out. Then even with the school, Thrive Beauty Institute, February the 13th marked a year that we've been open. It is a cosmetology apprenticeship school. So this is where those who desire to want to further their career in cosmetology you can come to my apprenticeship program, which means you will get 750 hours in theory, and then you'll get 750 hours in apprenticeship, which is amazing. I had a group of young girls, vibrant girl ladies, that were already doing hair. They needed to understand the theory, language, verbiage, things of that nature, so they can be professional and proper stylists. And they recently just graduated this past Friday.
Congratulations to them.
Thank you so much. So we had an amazing time at graduation, just seeing their smiles on their faces, knowing that they started something and they finished it. And it is a cash paid school. So the ladies paid themselves through school. So that was just amazing just to see that. And so we're currently expanding. I'm getting ready to add a lash program to the curriculum, to the school, where you can just come and just be a certified lash tech and get that certification done through that. And we also have a Tennessee Braiders course that we're adding to it as well. So in the state of Tennessee, you can go through a course of 16 hours and become a registered braider through the state of Tennessee. So that's amazing. So we're launching that too more as well this year. So I'm excited about that. And we're just kind of rebuilding and just expanding and rebranding a whole lot of things when it comes to hair education.
Now, what do you feel that your school provides that you didn't get when you were in cosmetology
school? Ooh, authenticity. And what I mean by authenticity, marketing, branding, just accepting that person, you know, and understanding that person and cultivating, spending time with each student differently. And I think that's what kind of felt like, at first I was like, oh, this is a little overwhelming. Because, you know, you go into a traditional school, whatever we teach it, if you don't get it, you don't get it. If you get it, you get it. But we're making sure at this school that we are spending time with each student and cultivating their strengths and their weaknesses, understanding their strengths and knowing where their weaknesses are and cultivating that and developing them that one by one and making it personal. Versus just, you know, we do group things and we teach as a group in a whole, but we also take the opportunity to say, hey, Shanice, you know, we understand that you're low, you know, when it comes to hair color, let's cultivate this for the next 3 weeks. So we can kind of customize it a little bit better versus everybody, you know, for 3 weeks, we're going to deal with hair cutting, and 6 weeks, we're going to deal with chemistry. So we still do that. But in the meantime, we kind of customize it to that individual so that they can become a better version of a great stylist. And it's a fast track school too as well. So it's high energy and fast track for us. Like, hey, you got to get in here and learn. You got to get in here. If you mean business, we give them what they want, but they have to be willing to work. So we really make sure they have a customized experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, what about, like, what are you doing, like, to ensure that they're prepared for state boards?
So we do a lot of theory testings. We do a lot of pop-up tests. They hate that because I may be like, hey, y'all, I got a test for y'all. Just pop one up just to see how well they are retaining information. Because skill is one thing, but theory is a whole nother ball game. So we're really making sure through those practice tests and that those passing rates are through the roof. We want our students to leave educated, not just skilled, but educated, understanding the theory of why they're doing what they're doing, understanding just the book, period. Because again, we have a whole lot of skilled people, stylists, but we don't have a whole lot of educated stylists. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and education, it goes beyond after, you know, you clocking in your last 1500 hours and you don't never sit in another classroom again. So we really, really instill education, education, education.
Yes, it's important to continue your education no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah.
But especially in the beauty industry, it's ever changing and you want to stay on top of everything and you want to make sure that you're growing so your business can continue to grow.
Yes.
Sometimes if you stop learning, you can stunt your growth in this industry.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. So we come up with games. With every chapter, we try to come up with a game. We try to come up with a dance. We try to come up with something that will help them retain the theory work and the information. And if we be honest, theory can be boring, you know? And if you're a type of educator who everything is just monotone, you know, you have to understand too what generation you're dealing with, you know? So you have to be able to have the skill set to teach every generation, you know, to make sure everybody can understand what you're teaching and hit every generation effectively. So we try to make sure that we really, and guess what? If I feel like I can't teach it well, you know what I do, Ms. Brandy? I'm getting on that phone and I'm calling the educator or I'm calling somebody and saying, hey, can I get you February the 3rd? Can I get you March the 15th? I need you for the next 2 weeks, you know? So if you need help, say you need help, you know, bring in a team and bring in what you feel like you're not even capable of doing. Bring somebody else in to do it, you know, to make sure that your students or your team is able to get what they're looking for. And it's great education.
I love that, Gary. I think it's great that you're helping people and that want to get into the industry, get prepared to, you know, to thrive in this industry, giving them the tools that,
yeah,
that they need. And maybe that you didn't even receive while you were in school, but yeah, the way you received it and just teach it as well. So how does that? So do you have any plans to expand and, you know, maybe open a new school later? Or like, what are your plans for that?
So I do have plans to make the school larger and finally get to the point where we can receive financial aid so that we can kind of receive everybody that desires to come in. Which we're going to finally get to that point. Right now, I think I'm just enjoying this journey of just attracting those who mean business. And the reason why I say mean business is because I think you respect it better if you're paying for it, you know? So right now, I think I'm just attracting the students who mean business and just saying, hey, I want to make this happen. And I can respect that a little bit better. So, but we in the near future, not this year, I don't guess, but hopefully we'll be able to expand and be almost like a traditional school with that.
So, but I think it's great. You got to start somewhere. And I love what you're doing. I know you're making an impact on the students that you've had thus far. Congratulations to them again. And I know there's more to come with that. So as we're winding down January, this month is almost over, but it's a new year roughly. Are you into resolutions or do you have a word of the year or whatever? And what's your thought on all that?
So I love putting things to months, to years, all that, all those different type of things. I believe my thing for myself personally, and I believe it will be really good for those that are listening, is the year of the risk taker. The year of the risk taker. And I believe that all of us are, you know, we have some level of faith, we have some level of belief. And I believe that we all are called to take a risk in business, in relationships, in collaborations, and building other platforms, a digital product, whatever it may be. It is time for us to finally execute what we've been talking about. Listen, how many times are we going to keep buying a notebook and writing it down? Right. We ought to be tired of just writing it down, finding a new ink pen and writing it down. It is time to take what is on the paper. Make the phone call, send out the email, go sit in the class, make it happen, take a risk. And I think if we finally take a risk, we're going to find ourselves sitting in seats, sitting at tables, shaking the right hands, meeting the right people, and enjoying our life the way that we desire it. But we have to be willing to take a risk against all fear, against all resistance, against all oppositions, and against all past failures. Because a lot of times we're afraid to take risks because of past experiences. Yeah. But in the midst of all of that and everything that's going on around you, to every guy that's listening, to every woman that's listening, jump!
Right. I love it. I want you there. Take that jump. Yes. My word for this year is action.
Yes.
And we're right on that same, you know, but yeah, take action, go ahead, make the call, send the email, step out there. Because last year, right before the holidays, I saw something and I just stepped out on faith. I didn't know it would work out for me or whatever. And I stepped out on faith and I applied for it. And I landed this awesome opportunity that's going to be starting soon to facilitate marketing for some entrepreneurs.
Congratulations, Rose.
And I would have never thought, like, I could have did it or would have gotten this. It was just, you know how you just do something, like, I don't know. But I could put it out there and see. And it actually, you know, has been a blessing for me. And so you just never know what will come of things if you just take that first step and just take action. And like you said, just, you know, do it, you know, in spite of fear and all this, in spite of past failures, everything, just take the action and get out there. So I love that. So, I love that we got our actual words and everything for the year. So what are you, what's going on like now, like as we wind down, like what do you, is there anything you want to share with the audience? Or, you know, just give us an encouraging word before we wrap up.
First of all, let me just say thank you so much for having me. This has been an honor, and I don't take it lightly at all. This has been so fun. I'd just like to just tell everybody, like me and you both said, you know, execute, be a risk taker. And let me say this too as well. You're not too late. Somebody just needs to hear that you're not too late, because sometimes we feel like, because we're a certain age, or because, you know, we didn't do it in 2000, or we didn't do it 6 months ago, or we didn't do it last night, that we're too late. No, you're not too late, okay? Every day that we get up and breathe, every day we get up and we are breathing, that is another opportunity for you to make it happen. And everything you need is going to find you. That's a good encouragement. Everything you need is going to find you. But it's not going to find you if you don't decide to execute or take the risk. As you move, what you need is going to locate you. So everybody be encouraged and know that resources are showing up. Any form of resources are showing up. Partnerships are showing up. Collaborations are showing up. And what you need needs you.
Awesome. Come on, somebody. So Gary, tell everybody how they can connect with you, give all your information.
Yes, you all can definitely find me on Instagram under Gerard Gary, which is G-E-R-E-A-U, Gary, G-A-R-Y, and on Facebook, which is Gary Gerard again, G-A-R-Y, Gary Gerard, G-E-R-E-A-U. And you can also find me on Gary Gerard, myshopify.com. There's a lot of different digital products there that you all may be open to and may love to purchase too as well. Stay with me on Instagram, stay with me on Facebook, and I'm always doing something.
Awesome. Gary Gerard, everybody, make sure you connect with them. All of the information will be in the show notes. As always, stay great, and we're out. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Email me at info@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at I Am Brandy Taylor and Facebook at I Am Brandy Taylor. I want to connect with you, so let's stay connected. And remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.